through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. We turn to the Confession of Forgiveness found on page 95 and following at this time. You may make use of the kneelers if you so desire. Confession of Forgiveness found on page 95. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus the Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. O most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus the Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I invite you to rise for the invocation, the Kyrie, and the hymn of praise, found on page 138 and following. The grace of our Lord Jesus the Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise is hymn number 858. We sing verses 1 and 3 only at this time. Hymn number 858, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, verses 1 and 3 only. The prayer of the day, found on the first page of your worship bulletin, or the first page of the Readings and Prayers Bulletin insert. We pray this prayer together in unison as a congregation. Let us pray. Almighty God, enliven and preserve your church with your steadfast love and mercy. Without your help, we mortals will fail. Remove far from us everything that is harmful and lead us toward all that gives life and hope. Through Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 7 to 11. So you, mortal, I have made a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked ones, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but their blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from their ways, and they do not turn from their ways, the wicked shall die in their iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now you, mortal, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, our transgressions and our sins weigh upon us, and we waste away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. And we'll read it responsively. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes.
And I will observe it to the end.
Give me understanding that I may keep your law.
And observe it with my whole heart.
Lead me in the path of your commandments.
For I delight in it.
Turn my heart to your decrees.
And not to selfish gain.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities.
Give me life in your ways.
Confirm to your servant your promise,
which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the disgrace that I dread.
For your ordinances are good.
See, I have longed for your precepts.
In your righteousness, give me life.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus the Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. gospel for today, this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus speaks to his disciples and followers, saying, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let each one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Amen, I tell you. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, amen, I tell you. If two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 18, for over 2,000 years, has been a part of the church. Every ELCA and Missouri Lutheran church in the nation has this in their constitution. Matthew chapter 18. And in fact, most Roman Catholic churches and Episcopalian churches have it also. Now, I can't speak for the Methodists or the Baptists or Christian Alliance or any of them, but maybe they have it also. But all Lutheran, Roman Catholic, Episcopal churches have Matthew 18 in their constitution, because it tells us how to deal with one another when there is conflict. I have a question of the day for you. If you could be any piece of furniture, what piece of furniture would you be? We almost have few enough people that you could go around and make you all answer it, but I won't do that, okay? If you could be any piece of furniture, what furniture would you be? A chair, a dining room table, a desk, a bench, a bed. I thought about it all this past week. I love my bed. But I think dining room table for me is even more important. But then I got to be thinking about furniture in our lives. How many of you have a piece of furniture that has been in your family for generations, handed down from one generation to the next? I'd be more interested in that than what kind of furniture you want to be, okay? That might get too personal. But I'd like to hear someday about the pieces of furniture you have in your household that are handed down from generation to generation. And I'm sure there's a story behind it. A chair or a trunk or a bed doesn't just come without a story when it's handed down generationally. My great-great-grandfather Breezer, my grandmother Beek's grandfather, that would be great now. Great-great, yeah. I've lost his greats. Three greats, I think. Anyhow, my grandmother Beek's grandfather created for her, well, first of all, for his family, he created a trunk to move all possessions from Germany to America through Ellis Island. And I didn't know until I was an adult, because I have the trunk in one of my guest rooms, big, huge trunk, metal forged handles, the nails that are, you know, squared off and that. It has German newspapers glued to the inside, Okay, and all they have is little goo spots. Grandma Beach used to have it in the attic with mothballs. It used to take years and years for the mothball smell to go away. But he brought all his possessions with his family over, okay? Then he made my grandmother a doll cradle. I have that in the guest bedroom next to the trunk. My sister hated dolls all of her life. Forget Barbie. She even said, John, I went to the Barbie movie. I hated it. I said, well, what's new? You know? He made a doll cradle for his granddaughter, and I now own it because it's the same man that made the trunk, and we couldn't throw it away. He made for my grandmother a beautiful rocking chair with spindles and everything, which is good enough that my mother has kept that in her house. It's in her guest bedroom. And someday I'll inherit it probably because my sister won't want it either. Okay? So we had a trunk, we had a doll cradle, we had a rocking chair, and then, if that's not enough, my grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather made a shaving mirror. And it was the most primitive looking thing you've ever seen in your life. But it hung in my dad's bathroom. He didn't use it for shaving because he had a big head and it was a small mirror. But I have that in the trunk next to the doll cradle, which will be next to the rocking chair someday. If you could be any piece of furniture, what would that be? And does it have a story to go with it? Or not. An old story from the old country. It's entitled A Most Precious Possession. Once upon a time, a young convert approached a pastor with a question. How can God forgive a sinner? Isn't God repulsed by all of the hatred and jealousy and evil that fills people? The pastor looked warmly at this young, enthusiastic young man and said, "You are the third generation in a family of master furniture makers. Tell me, if a fine table that your grandfather made was scratched, would you throw it away?" "Of course not," the young man exclaimed. "A scratch cannot hardly alter the character of a fine piece of furniture." And the pastor continued, "If you nicked a well-crafted oak rocking chair, would you toss it away?" "Throw it away," the young man exclaimed. "Even with a few scratches and nicks, quality furniture is sturdy and valuable. I think of Stickley furniture. Anyone that knows Stickley? Yeah, right? I have a rip-off one in my living room, Stickley chair." "You have spoken like a true craftsman," the pastor replied. "You share that spirit with our Creator God, who continues to find his human creation precious and valuable in spite of their obvious nicks, scratches, and flaws." The end. Chapter 18 is in every constitution in the Lutheran Church, I think even overseas. Because it tells us how to deal with conflict, and that's important. Because in every Lutheran church, there's conflict, as well as Roman Catholic, Baptist, Christian Alliance, whatever it may be. And so we are told how to deal with the conflict. But instead of punishing the person who has the scratch, the nick, or the flaw, we're supposed to lovingly care for them. One theologian said it this way: rather than treating this passage as guidelines for some judicial constitutional process under which the church is to conduct its affairs, these verses have been called the rule of Christ because they redefine the goals of confrontation or intervention in seeking to rescue and forgive, to offer care in a spirit of humility. I think that's important. It's in order to rescue and forgive and offer care in the spirit of humility. Saint theologian goes on to say, the emphasis throughout Matthew 18 is on trying to reclaim the offender, the brother or sister. In your scripture passage, okay, and I had typed it up before I got to this point in my exegetical work. In the Greek, it says, if a brother or sister comes to you with a grievance, okay, not a member of the church. It's thought that maybe good old Matthew put those words into Jesus' mouth, you know, to talk about conflict in the church. Martin Luther said, whenever the church builds a cathedral, Satan builds a chapel right next door. It's easy to get converts from the bars and the bordellos and all those places, but boy, to win over converts from the cathedral, Satan builds a chapel. Every congregation, we could talk about the history of this congregation, but we won't now because it'd take way too long, has had conflicts within it. But it's not a guideline for constitutional judgment or punishment. It's in order to rescue and forgive and care for one another. So, the original Greek was brother and sister. The emphasis throughout Matthew 18 is on trying to reclaim the offender, the brother or sister, not to punish him or her. This was made clear by the context in which Matthew has placed these verses. Preceding this passage, and we looked at this in Sunday school this morning, preceding this passage is the parable of the lost sheep, verses 10 through 14. Go home and read it. I always say we should always read the portion of the chapter before and the chapter after what we're in, because it puts it in context. Jesus has just got done talking about forgiving and recovering the ones who have gone astray. And what joy that will bring when you go out to find the one lost sheep and bring him or her, brother or sister, back to the fold. Following this passage, next week's gospel, in fact, Jesus' saying is about forgiveness in the parable of the unforgiving debtor, chapter 21 through 35, our gospel next week, which emphasizes the need for unbounded forgiveness. It says nothing about punishment, nothing about constitutional adjudication. It's about forgiveness and care and love and how we might win our brother and sister back to us. If we had enough time this morning, I could ask each one of you, when were you ever angry at your brother or sister? Marion Hundle gets off the hook because she's an only child like my father was, okay? But she belongs to a sisterhood, and we could go down that rabbit hole, but we won't. When were you ever angry at your brother or sister? I only had one sister, but boy, did I ever get angry a lot at her, and need to ask for forgiveness or be forgiven. That's what is being talked about here. It's not about being punitive or punishing or constitutional. It's about unbounded forgiveness, okay? It's about rescue and forgiveness. How many of you have a piece of furniture in your family that's been handed down generation to generation? In Grandma Beek's attic was the big trunk. We had to sleep in Grandma Beek's attic because they only had one guest room, and that's where my mom and dad slept. Actually, they slept in my grandma and grandpa's room. Grandma and grandpa slept in the guest room. But Jody and I were relegated to the attic in August in Ohio. With heat and humidity, we thought we went to hell. We thought hell was down. No, hell was up in Grandma's house. When they opened the windows for a cross breeze, there were no fans, there was no air conditioning, there was none of that back in the 60s and 70s. They couldn't afford it even if there was. And so we were up there. My sister hated that trunk because it looked like a coffin. And we were good church kids. We'd gone to funerals, we'd seen a coffin, and she was scared to death. Well, you know me, there's skeletons in there, Jody. There's all these skeletons of babies and women and men from our ancestry. She would scream, you know. To this day, she doesn't want to sleep with that. But in the guest room where she stays when she and my mother comes is the trunk. She closes her eyes and doesn't listen to me at all and pretends like it's not. How many of you have a piece of furniture that's important in your life, even with nicks and scratches, dents and flaws? How many of us have a brother or sister in our lives that we need to be reconciled with and say, forgive me, or I forgive you? That's what this is all about. If you could be a piece of furniture, what furniture would you be? My sister wouldn't be the trunk, the coffin. She wouldn't even be the doll cradle. Forget that. The shaving mirror now? I think she kind of likes that. It's very artistic. Come see it someday. What piece of furniture would you be? And how nicked and flawed and dented would you have to be before somebody throws you out? invite you to rise for the confession of faith and the Apostles' Creed found on page 105 in the front of the hymnal and for the prayers of the church. The confession of faith found on page 105. God has made us the people of God through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and in hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, in the prayers of the church, in the church, we pray for our bishops Elizabeth Eaton and Megan Manlove. We also pray for our mission partner ministry this whole month of September for the St. John's Sunday School and Christian Education programs. We began that on Thursday night, and it was very successful. People are invited to that Thursday evenings. There's dinner, there's Bible study, there's a craft, there's all kinds of stuff going on. Nationally and around the world, we pray for the war in Ukraine, the war in Sudan. We pray for people who have lost property, lives due to wildfires, hurricanes, and flooding. And then on Friday, you probably heard of the earthquake in Marrakesh, Monaco. Over 200 people are dead so far. They expect many more, and it's quite a crisis. We pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these events. And then we pray for people in the fields and on the roads during this harvest season, and we pray for their safety. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, and for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Hold us accountable, O God. Show your church where repentance is needed and lead us in paths of intentional compassion and listening to our brothers and sisters. Help us to extend hands of reconciliation and care, especially in relationships with other Christians and people of other faiths and our brothers and sisters. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. Reveal your miracles to us, O God. We pray for all farmers and laborers in the fields. We pray for lands experiencing scorching heat, drought, wildfires, hurricanes, earthquakes, or flooding. Let all creation around the world know that you are with them. Christe eleison. Christ, have mercy. Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. You desire peace and justice in the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas. Promote peace across the world, in our towns and in our neighborhoods, and between brothers and sisters. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show love and affection, hope and hospitality to one another. Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we lift up before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Your steadfast love, grace, and mercy endures forever. Be with those who look to you for hope and healing. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all of the ministries we are faithfully a part of. We pray for all students, teachers, staff, and families who are part of our Christian education program. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life,
and your hope.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, we pray for all those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you, especially those whom we name before you in our own hearts and minds. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Christe eleison.
Christ, have mercy.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father. For the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ, who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Especially welcome to all those of you who are visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Alan Rast. Happy birthday this week to Kelly Colton, Christopher Bidekoffer, Doug Ruff, Derek Taylor, Camus Webster, Rosie Bauer, Annika Allen, and Jaden Lute. Happy anniversary this week to Shane and Shannon Porath. Altar flowers today are given to the glory of God and in loving celebration of Annika Allen's 18th birthday and Sid Allen's 18th plus birthday. Love from Marilyn Allen. It's just a couple years, too. Maybe two. A meal train for the Christian family. It has been requested by members of the congregation that we begin a meal train for the Joseph and Elizabeth Christian family. Meals will be provided for the family on Tuesdays and Thursdays. People can sign up for any Tuesday or Thursday through the month of October. September is filled up at this point. A sign-up sheet has been created. It is on the kitchen counter. Thank you for the response to this ministry. Now we want to draw your attention to the financial statistics on the back of the worship bulletin. Take a look at that. We're a little bit in the red. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones found there? I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn number 182, Let the Vineyards Be Fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts and our lives toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, your love, and your grace. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
I invite you to rise with a great thanksgiving found on page 144 in the front of the hymn. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus the Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of the angels, and all the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave for all of them to drink, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We remain standing and prepare for the Eucharist by singing the hymn, Lamb of God, found on page 146 in the front of the hymn. Thank you. blessing, the post-communion canticle, hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
The healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus, who is the Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hymn number 754, Jesus, the Very Thought of You, hymn 754.